Oh, we're back.
We are.
Oh my goodness! Talk about catching us with our proverbial zippers down.
Come on, that was a go around if I ever saw it.
Yeah, yeah. The wheels are definitely up on that landing.
I'm telling you. Well, guess what? It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Ramona Cox, she's still in here. We couldn't get her out of the seat.
She got stuck to it. She's not used to comfy chairs.
It was the moose. We hooked her with the moose.
Oh, man. You know, that's a very interesting question. Have you ever done an approach to land and had to abort because all of a sudden there's an animal in your way?
What you do is you fly overhead, and I mean, on my website, right, skychick.com, I talk about a lot of this, and so what you do is you fly overhead. If you see something, then you could try to do a little flyby to see if it scares it away. Sometimes you just have to wait, and if there's a herd, you just can't land.
I mean, those are
considerations for backcountry pilots. You don't want to go in with not enough fuel to be able to get to other places, and a lot of these places are one way in only, and so that's, you know, it's a reason why. It's unpredictable.
Okay, right.
You could land, you could flip. There are a lot of things that could happen, and so that's really important for backcountry pilots to know that because of that unpredictability, that you should be prepared in a lot of ways, including having some form of communication,
right?
So that you can. Another thing is, people don't realize if you want to talk to flight service or something, you can't get communication down there. You have to.
No, if you're down in a canyon, forget it.
Yeah, you close your flight plan before you land. Now, if you have an incident on landing, you're out of luck.
I mean, it just is
what it is. So at least if you have, whether it's a sat phone or spot or something, you'll be able to handle it. And then also if you had an emergency, that again is where I used solar for a long time when I was out there, and I just flat out outgrew it. The problem that I had with solar, and I think solar's a great technology, but when it's cloudy for 3 days, I'm sorry, but I was carrying all these batteries to make sure everything was charged. My lanterns, my cell phones, and my computers, whatever it is that I had out there, right? Camcorders. And just, it would simply, two days of no sun, and I don't care. You're dead in the water.
Yeah,
right. You're dead in the water. Or the secondary problem was using my solar panels, which I had several of them, you angle them to get the most sun. Well, you can angle them, but then you go on a hike for 4 hours.
Right.
And guess what? If 15 minutes after you left, you're at the wrong angle, you have not charged all day.
Right.
Now it gets overcast in the second half of the day, and you've not gotten any power. So that's why I just flat out decided I'm always bringing this Honda. The 1000.
Do you bring extra fuel for the Honda, or can you run it off avgas?
You know what? Honda won't tell you this, but I pull fuel right out of my wing.
Right.
And so it can run on that, and which is great. And also, up at altitude, there, if you don't have the right type of container, fuel will emit. It has a very specific vent system, so that fuel cannot come out. And the thing's so quiet, I can have it running, and there'll be animals around. They'll still come around, because even though they have really good ears, it's so quiet they don't even hear it. So
right. Well, and food, that was a question I was wondering earlier. How do you bear-proof your food? Typically, they tell you to hang it from a tree.
Yeah.
But you're flying into places, any place big enough to land an airplane is not going to have a lot of trees around.
Well, actually, they do. I'm landing in the middle of trees. I'm landing over trees, in the middle of trees. There are a lot of trees. They're pine trees.
Okay.
So it's not that easy to hang your food, but I either hang it or I put it really far away. And I have this secret way of taking an ice chest with bungee cords and tying them so tight in a number of different ways that the bears can't get in. Now, if it's a grizzly, another story, but I have actually had a bear knock my ice chest a quarter of a mile down the road, and I could hear it bang, bang, glass crashing and everything, but did not get in.
Yeah, but by that point, it was okay. The food was a mess anyway. He could have it.
Turned it into a smoothie.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Wow. What's the funniest situation you've ever run across?
Let me think. The funniest. I would just have to say sometimes when I land and they don't expect that it's going to be a female coming out, and I've had where other fellows were on an airstrip and they were unprepared because they didn't think they were going to stay, and so I ended up they didn't have it poured, literally poured, a storm of huge microbursts came through. So they didn't have dry clothes. Their tent was wet. Their sleeping bags got wet. So I said, come on in. You can come into my tent. I have extra sleeping bag. I have extra Therm-a-Rest pads. I have a heater. I'll crank it up to 80 degrees. I mean, that's the point. Is that,
wow, that's not air camping. That
right.
sounds like luxury.
Right.
Luxury.
Well, the thing, it's again, it's if you're out there for a week or a weekend, then you know, you can handle anything. But when you're out for months, you reach a point that you just say, it's bloody freezing. I'm not sure that I like this. And so if you can just get the chill off of a tent, or I have this secret way that if you put
a lot
it,
of secrets here.
I know.
That's very mysterious lady.
Not anymore.
Yeah. People should come over and just ask me. I'll tell them all my secrets over there, over at the Honda tent. So I'll put a table down and I put a blanket over the table. I put a heater underneath that. And then I can sit out at night, and even if it's 30 degrees, I can look at the stars. Because the only thing that would get me to go inside the tent was just I was too cold. And
right.
So I figured out ways, so that I like to sit out at night and just look at the blackness and see the shadows in the forest, because you know the things are out there. I mean, I hear things grunting outside of my tent.
That's just guys.
Often.
Don't worry about it. They'll go away.
I do. I hear a lot of things, and I have over... You know, just a reminder, over at the Honda tent, which is at the tail of the B-52 bomber, if you head tail of the B-52 bomber and head toward Theater in the Woods, you'll come to the Honda tent and my airplane. I have the latest and greatest in tiny little stoves. And I test all this gear and I videotape the result. And I can tell you what the brightest tiny lantern is. I can tell you what the most ferocious little stove is going to be, and wind. I tested it, and 25 knot winds. So I have a lot of good gear that people can check.
Yeah, and I guess you've had some disappointments, so you bring a lot of extra stuff, especially when you're evaluating something new.
Oh, absolutely. And evaluations are fun. I mean, some things really don't work. And that's why my lectures are called What's Hype and What's Right, because I test things and I'm laughing hysterically while I'm testing them, because I say, what did this say it was supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly.
It was ridiculous. So, yeah.
Wow.
I find it very interesting. You must have met a lot of interesting people along the way.
I do. I meet really fascinating people. And what surprises me is that when I decided to take off for months, I still had to run a business. I started an internet company. That's why I had all the sat and mobile technology, because I ran the company from the woods. I would sit in a kayak, and I have several laptops. I have a little baby kayak, a little baby laptop. And I would have a fishing pole in one hand and a laptop in the other. And I would literally just check emails and then wait for bites and things. And so I was just I decided I wanted to take off for a long period of time. And when people land and they're only there for a weekend, and I say, well, why are you going back? You just told me you're retired. Why are you only here for 3 days?
Right.
Oh, I have to feed the dog. I have to do this. Well,
bring the dog with you.
Bring the dog with you. Now, have your neighbor watch the dog. Take a week out here, because you can't enjoy. You can't really just get the sense and immerse yourself in Mother Nature in 2 days.
No, you're still decompressing.
You're very much still decompressing. So yeah, and now it's called a mini flex boat. It's this little boat. They actually have them here. They're here at the show, AI boats. And it only weighs 50 pounds, okay? And it takes the room, the boat, and then I'm using a Honda BF 2.3 motor, so it's a little motor and a little boat. The motor's about 30. If you take the boat and the motor, it's only 80 pounds. So that combination takes the room of one seat. So if I go someplace where there's a lake and I know I'm going to spend a lot of time on that lake, you can bet that's what I'm going to take, is the mini flex boat.
So somewhere there's like a storage unit full of all your different camping gear set up for different itineraries.
It's called my hangar. it's called my hangar. I have so much.
I'm curious, when you set up for different venues, I'm sure. Well, I'm going to ask this. I know when I come to Oshkosh, I have a checklist of stuff that I want to bring. Are you doing the same?
I have not only have a checklist, I weigh every single thing on a scale, and I mark it, and I tape that weight to the piece so that I know I have already weighed it. And then I very carefully load all this gear because it's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Are you flying? A 182?
No, I have a Turbo 206.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a utility model with big cargo doors. And if I go on long trips, I've taken up to 800-900 pounds. And then I am 97, right? So I have a 1,000-pound useful load plus 80 gallons of gas. So I can use a lot, but the when I give my lectures and what I have over there, it doesn't matter if you're flying a Super Cub, that I show gear that works for any size airplane so that you can.
You just take a lot less when you're in the Cub.
I was going to say, what kind of food are you bringing with you?
Oh, no, not MREs.
No. In fact, I did a video. I tried one, and I said, no wonder they're so happy to get home.
Yeah.
Oh, that was not a pretty sight. It just depends. I mean, I fish. Every day I fish for my food. So, and I actually hunt with a bow, but I only hunt small game fowl, birds. So I fish or I hunt. And then I will bring some fresh produce. I'll stop in a market, bring fresh produce. And then I also bring a lot of dried things that I vacuum seal prior to leaving. So
she doesn't camp. Too luxurious.
No microwave.
She's like
pizza.
A sultan with the big tent and then all the fluffy pillows and stuff.
Generator.
It's like, wow.
The moose outside standing
guard.
My
idea of camping was sleeping in the car in the middle of a field.
I can't tell you how many nights we froze off in a tent.
That's why we don't have one anymore. But anyway, thank you for joining us.
You are very welcome.
Definitely, remember, down behind the tail of the B-52, over by Theater in the Woods, Subway Sandwich Station, you'll see our whole setup there. Learn all about how to deal with angry mooses.
Yeah, for skychick.com. They can find it out there and stop by and get my DVD, Flying Off the Grid, and stop by and sign up for our prizes. Aeroshell team, DVDs, you name it. We have a lot of prizes.
All right.
So sweepstakes, thanks.
Thank you. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.